Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's the Round All Rock Podcast. Starring Dave Schilling, Justin Holliday, James Michael McAdoo, Joey Devine, Ogden Kuzmich, Quinn Cook, Sean Keane. Please don't hit us! Jose Calderon from the movie Hustle! Patreons! Charles Crabtree! Thank you, Charles! Rohan! Thank you, Rohan! And thank you, King Theoden! Adrian! Thank you, Adrian! Tyler! Thank you, Tyler! Musical guest, Juice Newton! And now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine!
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast, and we are back with a postseason ending edition of the podcast. I'm here, as always, with America's Uncle Dad, America's best friend, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
Hey, buddy. I'm good. Feeling good. Feeling great. Feeling strong.
Yeah, you're happy.
I drank some champagne last night.
Ooh.
Ate some potatoes this morning.
Ooh.
Sent some tweets.
Yeah, you did that.
I was tweeting last night, Joey.
You wrote an article last night.
I wrote two.
That's sort of the problem with being in basketball. Even when your team wins, you can't really celebrate because you have to work.
I was like, hey, let's watch these speeches while I also wrote a little write-up on Steph Curry winning finals MVP. But I you know, like Jaren Jackson Jr., my trigger fingers turned into Twitter fingers last night.
Before we get started and get into all of that, just some business off the top. Patreon.com/roundrockpod. It's where you can hear Backseat Drivers, our Lincoln Lawyer podcast. Our first episode went up this week about the Lincoln Lawyer movie starring Matthew McConaughey. At roundrockpod is our Twitter. roundrockpod@gmail.com is our email. Call us on the phone at the number in the description of the episode. And if you're going to Summer League, Sean, are you going to Summer League?
I will be going to Summer League.
I am also going to Summer League. I believe we said July 10th is our meetup at the Tillman Furs Tita slot machines at 10 p.m.
Okay. Yeah. Sunday night, baby.
Yeah. At 10 p.m. Vegas. At the Golden Nugget Casino, at the Billion Dollar Buyer slot machines. We're all going to put some money into the Tillman Fertitta slot machines to see if we can get our money back from that frugal loser, Tillman Fertitta. Sean.
Yes. Yes, Joey.
We have some news.
Yeah. Big story. Mm-hmm.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean, our top story is, of course, a 12-year-old was granted an order of protection against the Flash's Ezra Miller.
Wow. I didn't expect it to be this unpleasant right away, Joey.
Sean, let me read you... First off, as everyone knows, sure, this isn't basketball news, but America's number one problem right now is Ezra Miller from the Justice League. And I just want to read you really quickly a story here about Ezra Miller. Tensions began brewing when the mother says she mentioned doing some traveling recently with her quote-unquote tribe of people, leading Miller to snap at her and accuse her of cultural appropriation. Then a conversation about board games allegedly went sideways when, after Miller claimed that the board game Parcheesi had Rastafarian roots, the visiting neighbor, who is half black, questioned Miller as to which sect of the Rastafari movement it originated from. Quote, "At this point, Ezra explodes and started screaming directly into my face. They said, 'You don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. What did you say to me? What did you just say to me?' I was caught very off guard," the visiting neighbor continues. "Then they opened up their jacket. They had this, like, big Sherpa jacket. And they opened up a one side of their jacket. You could see a gun, and they said, 'Talking like that could get you into a really serious situation.'"
Wow.
So, Sean, our top story today is, of course, on the Grand Theft Auto scale of stars, Ezra Miller has hit 4 out of 5 stars. They're not sending tanks yet, but Joe Biden, please do something about Ezra Miller.
5 is literally Christopher Dorner, who we talked about quite a bit. I'm fairly sure that the board game Parcheesi originated in India. Am I wrong about that?
I don't know. I just know if someone showed me a gun after an argument about Parcheesi, I would be upset, just like this woman rightfully is.
Yeah, Parcheesi is the Hindustani word for it. It's from ancient India, original home of the Rastafarians, of course.
Next, according to the visiting neighbor, the mother and the child, Miller focused their attention on the then 11-year-old, saying, quote, "I've talked extensively with your child, and they have a lot of power to them. At one point, you're going to realize that you don't have any control over them anymore. They're an elevated being, and they would be lucky to have someone like me guide them." They say Miller proceeded to turn to the mother, who dresses goth, and accused her of being a witch and a vampire, repeatedly yelling at her, "Do you want to drink my blood? Do you?"
So, that's kind of like, have they finished that Flash movie?
I believe they have, yeah.
But they can't release it at this point, right?
Miller apologized for the outburst, only to return to pester the family on a number of other occasions, including in late April, in May, and on June 4th, dressed as a cowboy.
Are they just the character from We Need to Talk About Kevin?
Anyway, Sean, in basketball news.
Trades. That's right, we're talking about trades.
/capspace URLs. You remember we talk about Capspace all the time in the program. /capspace. Let them know that you came from us. Limited time only. Terms apply.
Protected picks.
You can even create a beautiful website while listening to this podcast. Over 140 million people choose Wix to create their website. Create yours today. That's wix.com/woj, W-O-J, to get 10% off.
Rights to euros that are never coming.
Enter code NBA at checkout for $20 off your first order.
Expiring salaries.
If you missed it, we launched the Recapables Billions podcast on our Recapables feed.
Treating people like their assets and not people.
ZipRecruiter.com/lowpost, L-O-W-E post. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Even robots know that basketball is a business, so players shouldn't have feelings because of business. Trades.
All right, Sean, we hadn't heard it in a while. It's the trades drop.
Oh, yeah. We've got some big moves.
We've
big
had two moves. Trades, Sean. Why don't you walk us through our first, the big one?
Let's go with the big one first. We got the Dallas Mavericks have decided to bulk up in the middle. Although they did so by getting rid of the biggest player in the NBA, they have traded their first round pick this year in the draft to the Houston Rockets to get Christian Wood. They threw in Trey Burke, Sterling Brown, and the finest actor in the NBA, Boban Marjanovic. Right? Is he the best actor? Is Wancho better, do you think?
I think Wancho is... It depends on what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Wancho, we were on our friend Greg and Sarah's jazz podcast talking about the movie Hustle today. So listen to that. It's called Unsalvageables, the Utah Jazz podcast. And it's great and very funny, and we love them very much.
Yeah. So, this is...
So who did the Mavericks get? You didn't say that part.
For Christian Wood.
Yeah.
Christian Wood. We... Actually, we'll play that song this week, our Christian Wood song. Yeah, so he's... Basically, they traded... I think they traded one more guy that I didn't list, Joey. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's... So this is the number 26 pick in the draft. Mm-hmm.
Trey Burke, Boban, Sterling Brown, and...
And Avery Bradley. No, I'm sorry. Marquise Chriss.
Oh,
Marquise
Chriss, the ride. Our friend.
Our friend, who I believe we...
He had knee surgery. He's out for months.
He had knee surgery, so... And I would say that's kind of not a lot for Christian Wood.
I would say that, yes.
he's only got a year left on his deal. But
here's my take on this trade. Huge talent upgrade for the Mavs. Obviously, they got the best player in the trade.
Yes,
but terrible vibes move.
Yeah, it's a Mavs-esque vibes decision where they only improve their vibes accidentally, like they somehow for a little while mitigated the terrible Porzingis vibes because they were forced to take Tim Hardaway Jr. and his wonderful vibes back in that trade with the Knicks. But usually, like Dirk was able to overcome a lot of bad vibes, but after a while you can't add like an upset DeAndre Jordan, an old Darren Williams, a heartbroken Devin Harris who can't believe you just keep trading him away and releasing him. Like, just like a lot of bad vibe moves.
And yeah, their whole turnaround this season was predicated on getting rid of a large man who could shoot with bad vibes for Flotsam. And now they've traded Flotsam for a huge man with who can shoot with bad vibes.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I think he's definitely better than Porzingis at this point, but like, didn't you,
I don't know if he's better than Porzingis.
Well, I mean, he shot really well from three last year, or at least at the end of the year.
Yeah, but look, I don't want to defend Porzingis, but, like, I don't know. I've never heard of an assistant coach trying to fight Porzingis mid-game, which that happened with Christian Wood earlier this year.
Well, there aren't that many female assistant coaches, Joey. That's a mean thing to say, but, you know, Porzingis. No, his vibe seemed terrible. And for the Rockets, I really thought they should just get rid of him because he seemed like a bad guy to have around a bunch of rookies. Mm-hmm. Like, he's definitely talented, but this is many, many teams for him. So I kind of
basically kind of just cut him because he's a dick always before he even got to this point. It's like,
yes,
why he wasn't in the NBA and in the G League. Everyone was like, this guy's the best player in the G League, but he's an asshole.
So, I mean, I sort of like, I guess I get it, but it also feels like not really what the Mavericks needed, if that makes sense. Like, mm-hmm. Their defense was kind of good last year, but a lot of that seemed like it was because of the big men they had who aren't Christian Wood.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think the Mavs will still be pretty good because of Luka Doncic, but, you know, I guess this doesn't really cost them that much either.
Yeah,
but I still like it better for the Rockets, man. I just don't like that guy.
Yeah, me either.
He's a hard pass for me.
Same. But I mean, again, basketball wise, he seems like a fantastic combo with Luka. In theory, but in theory. I don't know.
But you know who's an amazing pick and roll partner to Luka? Weirdly,
Boban is Dwight Marjanovic.
Powell. Well, no, oh, yeah. I was gonna say Dwight. He just has like insane numbers for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Christian Wood, get ready to party with Mark Cuban, whether you want to or not, buddy. He's going to be hanging out with you, looking extremely young with natural colored hair, a face that's definitely made of human skin. Yeah.
And not so taut you can bounce a quarter off of it.
Not at all. And just like a really cool 63-year-old man who sometimes likes to wear a sweatshirt with the sleeves cut off because he definitely has never taken steroids.
Look, we talk a lot about I was doing it earlier today on Unsalvageables, but we talk a lot about tech bros choices of fashion on this show.
Yes,
mainly absolutely. Jeans with bad dress shoes and just the most pressed dress shirt ever. What is it about reality television show hosts where they have to wear a tight black t-shirt?
I don't,
because that's what Mark Cuban dresses like. Yeah. Always too, it's the Simon Cowell, the Gordon Ramsay, the Mark Cuban.
Just the the Louis C.K. is the loose black t-shirt.
Right.
Ricky Gervais, I would say, is also a black t-shirt guy.
Yeah. But the Simon Cowell, Gordon Ramsay, Mark Cuban one is like, Gervais also, it does not fit. It's too tight. You can see their nipples poking through it.
I don't know who it's for exactly. Yeah.
It doesn't look good. I don't know why.
Like it's, I get wearing it if you're like a 25-year-old bartender.
Sure.
And you're in West Hollywood. But like, Mark Cuban is 63 years old. Does he still think like this t-shirt is going to be really flattering? You know what I'm going to wear? A blazer and jeans. And I'm not wearing a tie because I'm a cool billionaire. All of this hair and skin is natural. You're going to love it. Oh, yeah. I'm worth $4 billion, but I sold my company for 10, 20 years ago. What happened?
All right, we should talk about the other trade now, too, is the Denver Nuggets.
Yes.
Who announced today, by the way, that they were championship or bust.
Uh-huh.
Did a very not championship or bust move by trading Jamichael Green in a protected 2027 first round pick to the Thunder for the 30th
Jeremy
pick.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. You're right. With the 30th pick. So that's, And so it's funny that there were people reacting to this trade like, what a prize Oklahoma City got, getting that sweet 2027 first rounder, when it was like, you just traded, isn't there any time value of that, that you have to wait 5 years to get this pick?
I mean, yes. I would rather talk about this from the Denver standpoint, though, okay. Which is, they're announcing their championship or bust, but they also just traded, an actual NBA rotation player for the 30th pick in the draft.
I just don't think Jermichael Green is very good.
Yeah, but he's still, a 10th man on a playoff
team. If you can get a first-round pick for the 10th man who makes $8 million a year,
It's just the 30th pick, though,
But it's Jermichael Green.
Yeah,
What do you think Jermichael Green shot from three-point range this year?
I don't know, 28%?
27%, yeah. I just don't think he's. I just don't think he's very good.
Defense is pretty good. But what I will say.
But I'm just saying, I would rather have the first round pick, and now they have a trade exception. I mean, we'll see.
That's the thing.
What they do with this trade exception.
That's the problem. Is I would agree if an owner who doesn't famously cheap out was doing this. You know what I mean? I'd believe there was a plan.
Well, here's the thing. I am not a Stan Kroenke fan. My father loves Arsenal. He's not really a big supporter there. But, they do have four players on enormous contracts. Mm-hmm.
But also the rumor is they're now shopping Monte Morris.
I mean, look, if they trade Monte Morris, that is a bad decision. Trading Jermichael Green for a first round pick I think they got two second round picks too.
Yeah, they did. I forgot to say that.
So it feels like they really won this trade to me.
But also they've let two people building this team go now just because they didn't want to pay them in Masai and Tim Connolly. That's what happened right before this trade as well.
Well, you don't trust Calvin Booth to run
this? I mean,
this.
I might. Oh, they've done a great job. They constantly pick the right GM. It's just...
It's not great that they... Well, wasn't the heir apparent the new Bulls GM too,
yes.
Arturos?
Yes.
So that's three guys. Now, that's a good sign for their development. But, at some point you would think you'd want to keep
one of those guys.
One of those guys. I don't know. But for this trade, at least, I think it just feels like a huge win for Denver. I don't know. Maybe I am underrating Jermichael Green. But I kind of feel like I kind of feel like you could get someone – of equivalent value.
I just think there's a 0%. They're just going to eat that money. Using that trade exception.
Or the mid-level.
They'll use the mid-level, but that still saves them $2 million against the tax.
Well, and I could see them using, if I were going to make a guess, I think this is maybe a trade exception they use at the deadline.
I'm gonna bet
it also
they
saves
don't
them like
it.
$5 million.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, because if you use the deadline, the guy's got $2 million left.
Yeah,
on the contract. But you gotta make some room for Zeke Nanji at some point, Joey. Boy, I bet they wish they still had Jared Vanderbilt though.
Yeah, I would bet
every team in the league wishes they had Jared Vanderbilt, baby.
And also, I think every team in the league wishes they had the star of Adam Sandler's Hustle, Juancho Hernan Gomez.
That's true. Does Utah still have? I have no idea.
Yes,
oh yeah, because
he's still on the Utah Jazz. That's why we were on a Utah Jazz podcast today talking about Hustle.
That is true. And he's still, I think he has another year left.
Yeah. All right, Sean, time to talk about it.
Player, turn up, player. Cinco, cuatro, tres, dos, uno.
It's out. Going down. I'm yelling timber. Player. You better move. Player. You better dance. Player. Let's make a night.
Player.
You
Sean, he did it. Steph Curry won the finals MVP and his fourth NBA finals. First off, what I want to ask you is what will replace Steph Curry doesn't have a finals MVP in the take machine, because it feels like a gigantic loss.
Yeah, I mean, it was a huge cudgel to use. No one cared about the finals MVP award. Like, literally no one ever talked about it as being like a controversial thing. Occasionally you had moments where it was like, hey, it was kind of great that James Worthy won that finals MVP. Good job for him. But at the time, no one was like, Magic Johnson just didn't get it done in that finals. Right. He should have won that finals MVP. It was like, it was just this like nice award that kind of came up periodically. You know, and like, oh, Joe Dumars won one year. That's cool. And then otherwise it was like, yeah, well, Michael Jordan won that one. Makes sense. Yeah. I guess Shaq's the MVP since the Lakers won again. But somehow with Steph Curry, it became this weird legacy defining thing that had never existed before. Just, I mean, I'm not saying it was bias against Steph Curry. It's the take machine. The take machine needs fuel. You know what I mean? And like, I don't think this is like, but I would say the thing that will replace it, and we're already getting this from our friend Wendy, is the idea of the checkbook win, the checkbook title. Mm-hmm. You have to beat the Warriors checkbook to beat them. Regardless of, like, you look at the Celtics, they've got, you know, Jason Tatum has a max. Jaylen Brown basically has a max. Al Horford is making like $29 million a year. Like, Derek White makes a lot of money. They aren't in the tax the way the Warriors are because they've had a larger payroll for a while. But it's like, it's not like the Celtics have like scrimped. You know what I mean?
Well,
like they have like the same number of giant deals as the Warriors do.
I actually want to cut Wendy some slack there. Okay. I mean, it's gross and it's terrible and we shouldn't be cutting him some slack, but I want to be honest here. Brian Windhorst does not believe that.
I think he does, but
no, yeah. But I mean, what he's really doing is, they started talking about this during the Mavericks series, is that the owners are grumbling about the Warriors paying so much tax money and wanting to change that in the CBA. So this is Brian Windhorst being a mouthpiece for the other owners in the league.
Which is kind of weird because they get that tax money.
Right.
As long as they're not paying
it. Yeah, it goes
tax
to them. But like, they're like, hey, them paying a lot of money is making us look bad. And it's like,
anything to depress player value. Also, it is a guarantee that the NBA will screw this up and make it worse, which is what happens every time they try to do this.
It will somehow give Joe Lacob an advantage.
Yeah, like somehow, because they started the Supermax. That really backfired on them, and you had to stay with your own team. It didn't keep players from leaving or like demanding a trade after signing a Supermax.
Yeah.
Because they didn't really address the root causes, which is just that players don't want to play for shitty owners.
Right.
Which is kind of the main thing. And then the Warriors aren't really an example. Like the Nets are sort of the thing owners would be mad about. And I mean, I guess they're kind of mad about the Clippers too. But I mean, it's ludicrous, but that's going to be the new thing, is that suddenly the Golden State Warriors are like the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
Despite, you know,
drafting all their guys and trading for one of them.
Well, and also their payroll was not particularly high through like 2017 and 2018.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's because of the cap spike. They're smoothing this time. Oh, they're smoothing this time, Sean.
Oh, thank God they're smoothing. And I mean, I'm sure the smoothing will somehow help them too. But like, the idea that getting Andrew Wiggins was this
a deal everyone made fun of, including us at the time.
Like, and we're making fun of through the point when he was starting the All-Star game. People were still like, that contract sucks. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't even disagreeing that much. But just, you know, I mean, yes, it's a luxury to have a guy in a big contract who's that useful. But like, Al Horford has the same contract, basically. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, is he a crazy luxury? I mean, you know what I mean?
Right.
Anyway, but I think that's going to be the new thing. Possibly. I mean, the other thing is that he might be correctly, in my mind, tarnished for helping this nationwide Ponzi scheme that is cryptocurrency. Mm-hmm. And so that might be it. I mean, I think Elon Musk is getting sued for a similar reason. So I can see it happening.
I actually think what's going to replace it in the take machine is just more shitting on Kevin Durant and more Kevin Durant tweets.
Oh, that's right? Happening too, where people are just going to be like, it's going to flip completely, because it used to be, up until 2 days ago, it was Kevin Durant was the real one responsible for these titles, and Curry sucks. And now it's going to be, actually, Kevin Durant sucks, and Curry was the good one all along.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're totally right. There's already people just like, well, Kevin Durant's got something to prove now.
Yeah.
Like, what?
He needs to win another finals MVP.
Like, who thought the Nets were supposed to make some noise in the playoffs this year?
Well, I'll tell you who thinks the Nets are making some noise in the playoffs next year. Vegas, baby! Yeah. They're, according to Vegas, they're the second title odds, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Sean, the other question I had for you.
Yes.
I have two big ones.
Okay.
Was the real difference in this finals, which was a 50-50 coin flip going in, the fact that the Boston Celtics had Bill Simmons, Dave Portnoy, and I don't know, name another terrible famous Boston person.
Bill Simmons' dad, Benzino, Paul Pierce.
Yeah, Paul Pierce. We'll say Paul Pierce. Were the famous Celtics fans prominently featured, and the famous Warriors fans
Whitey
were...
Whitey Bulger. Yeah.
Well, then the famous Warriors fans were John Carpenter, Guy Fieri, and Cousin Greg from Succession.
Oh, I didn't even realize he was a Warriors
He's
fan.
On the Woj pod, the Woj pod today, talking about how much he loves Hilarious. The Golden State Warriors.
Oh, God, that's so wonderful.
In and of itself, isn't that just like a microcosm of what mattered?
It's a huge vibes advantage. I would mention some other things that are real big vibes advantages. First of all, we've talked about Jason Tatum a little bit. And the Kobe armband and the Kobe outfit.
Like, and the texting Kobe.
It's weird to dress up like a dead man. Like, it's just weird. And then the Tiger Woods t-shirt before game 5 seemed like a bad idea. Mm-hmm. Said it before, but he played subpar. You know what I'm saying? And our friend Moosey Mania said my favorite thing was that you knew he was going to have a bad road performance when you wear a Tiger Woods t-shirt. That was a bad vibe. Jaylen Brown, I felt like, had good vibes. A lot of dancing in pregame warmups, good attitude. But then when Jordan Poole wore a 2011 Klay Thompson draft t-shirt that looked like he bought it on the Coliseum pedestrian ramp, that was an incredibly good vibe for the Warriors. Like anytime you're wearing like a bootleg fan t-shirt, that is a win right there. And Klay Thompson continuing to jump into the ocean constantly was a very good vibe. I have a feeling he wasn't able to do that before game 6. I think it was like a reverse Dunkirk situation, Joey, where the city of Boston like banded together to take the boats away to keep Klay on land. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And, you know, a bad vibe. I'm going to say this. Steph Curry wearing an Ayesha Curry Can Cook t-shirt for game 5.
Yeah.
That's how you go 0-9 from 3-point range. You know what I kind of liked too, though?
What?
They weren't talking about it until they won, but realizing like just how much Klay and Draymond and Steph like listen to stuff and just like Klay Thompson, like, Steph Curry remembered every time someone on, like, the jump made fun of him.
Yeah, he did the zero over his eye. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see that.
Because I guess at one point the jump asked how many championships Steph Curry was going to win by the end of his career, and they all held up zeros.
Mm-hmm.
I will say some of the pettiness I don't like. Like, look, I love Klay Thompson, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know. You already beat Jaren Jackson in the playoffs, man. Like, it's weird to me to bring that up.
No, that was awesome.
I don't like it. And then Draymond was dunking on a Jaylen Brown tweet today. Like, I don't know. You beat these guys, dude.
He dunked on Dave Portnoy today, too.
Well, that's good. Well, I love
The Jaren Jackson one, I think, is definitely a fair game. Also, it was just really funny because he clearly – it's just because someone – he said strength in numbers himself. And then it reminded him of a thing that was like it wasn't calculated. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then him saying this bum, this clown, that's hilarious. Dylan Brooks, it reminded me of Dylan Brooks, telling Andre Iguodala that he had missed out on a dynasty by not saying.
Yeah. I mean, that was funny.
Yeah.
Here's the other major question I have for you, Sean.
Yeah.
Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala.
Oh boy, yeah.
Won championships today. Where does this rank in the greatest moments in podcasting history?
Boy, it is way up there with Barack Obama going on Marc Maron. Mm-hmm. I think.
Is it up there with Carlos Mencia on Marc Maron?
Oh man, I think. Well, I mean, if we're picking one of those, I think I would go with Gallagher on Marc Maron.
Okay,
but I'm trying to think of other things that might. Okay.
What about the fact that Adnan is free right now?
Is it? He's not free.
I know, because he's guilty.
Free, if he was free, he would. That would be the greatest moment in podcasting history. I'm trying to think of other ones. I don't know, that time Will Arnett really cracked up Jason Bateman on Smartless.
I'll tell you the greatest moment in podcasting history.
What?
Our friend Karen Kilgariff getting to quit working for Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh my, well, that.
Because of her podcast. Well, that is the greatest moment in podcasting history.
That's very nice and also very generous to Ellen to, that she actually got fired because she went on strike and she was in a union that Ellen was also in. And Ellen's a terrible person. But it is incredible that she made the pivot from Mr. Show to Mrs. Murder. Karen can go with rules.
We are part of the True Crime is Rotting People's Brains movement, except when it comes to our friend Karen Kilgariff.
And there was a big announcement on one of those podcasts, right?
There sure was. Andre Iguodala is starting a venture capitalist, a VC, Sean. He announced that last night.
Does that mean he's retiring? Is that officially his retirement announcement?
He did not say he was retiring, no. But I do think that means he won't take a job as an assistant coach with the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. as much as they'd want. I mean, I'm perfectly fine with him getting the Udonis Haslam deal for as long as he wants, but I just have a feeling I think that's it. Like,
be perfectly happy with him getting the Udonis Haslam deal if Steve Kerr made Eric Spoelstra and didn't play him, but as long as he's on the roster, he's going to play is the problem.
Well, did you like that he came out, that Kerr put him in the last minute?
No, I did not like that. I know you really liked it.
I loved it, yeah.
But I was just like, this is like a...
I had a feeling
Mitch
that
Richmond
you're...
dribbling the ball. Like, I don't like when they do that.
I mean, Mitch Richmond was not really a lame, but You didn't like having those four guys out there again?
It's fine. I don't know.
I did think that you would dislike it. Also because you'd be like, oh no, they're gonna Andre's gonna blow it. They only have a 15-point lead with a minute left.
I do always feel that way, but I don't know. I just was like, it's cool to get Andre in there, but also like, I don't know, Wiggins and Poole and Looney and Gary Payton all, like, contributed more. Maybe one of those guys should be on the floor.
Yeah, but
like,
they weren't there for the other three championships.
But, like, he didn't do anything this year. But, like, literally lose them one of the games. All right.
I just think he's a big part of the team. They love him.
Sure. It's great.
That's how you take care of your guys. First class organization. Light years ahead, Joey.
Well, speaking of.
Uh-huh.
How did you feel about Joe Lacob last night?
It was so unpleasant. Like, just seeing him on the sidelines. Like, he's too close to the bench, for one thing. He should be sitting two rows back. I'm sorry. Like, the owner does not need to be high-fiving guys during the game.
Here's what I will say, though.
Put a little distance between
it. I do always sort of forget this, because they don't let him talk, usually. But he is more acceptable than Peter Guber.
What was weird is seeing the two of them together. Peter Guber looks like he's 5'3". like maybe Lacob is taller than I think, or maybe I was looking at someone else. Actually, was it? But he's Peter Guber's look is so funny.
It's important to remember Peter.
He
Guber.
Looks like a character actor.
Yeah, it's important to remember. For those of you that don't know, Peter Guber is like one of Hollywood's greatest scam artists.
I didn't know he was a scam artist. Yeah, didn't he produce Batman?
He did, but when he was president of Sony Pictures, it was so terrible. But he like invented his own golden parachute out. Like the company had to like go bankrupt, but also they had to pay him $500 million or something. The reason Tony Robbins is always around the Golden State Warriors around playoff time is because Peter Guber is one of his best friends, and that's never good.
Wait, who's one of his best friends?
Tony Robbins.
Oh my god, that's right. he was also partners with John Peters for a while, mm-hmm. who you might know from the movie Licorice Pizza.
Yeah.
He produced Rain Man. Witches of Eastwick? Wick?
Mm-hmm.
Man, what a crazy...
But yeah, there's an entire book, I forget what it's called, about Peter Guber sort of scamming Sony with Mandalay Pictures.
Mandalay Entertainment is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the things they'd always put a tiger in it. Mm-hmm. Now, do you think...
Well, he's the famous guy that made Kevin Smith try and put a giant spider in that Superman.
No, that's John Peters.
Oh, that's John Peters. That's John Peters. Mistake. His partner. My mistake. Yeah.
in Wild Wild West.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Which someone eventually did. He also, I was wondering if he consulted with Steph Curry when he put out Mandalay Pictures' most recent production, a movie starring Jim Caviezel.
Oh, no.
How do you say his name?
That's
called
it.
Paul, Apostle of Christ.
Oh God! All right, Sean. My question for you.
Yes.
Who are you happiest for?
I was very happy for when Steph started crying. Mm-hmm. I'm happiest for Clay, man. Just only because that rehab is so brutal. Like, I know they talk about it all the time, and there's a Kaiser commercial, but, like, it has to be the most boring stuff in the world. And, like, you could tell it kind of wrecked him, and I don't know. I was just very happy for him. That's all. Like, I feel like they talk about guys sacrificing and putting in the work, like, a lot. And he just, like, just feel like he had, like, you know, 2.5 years of his life, like, robbed away from him. Mm-hmm. And then while he maybe didn't come through offensively as much as you'd want in game six, he was, like, playing defense. It was like having a 90% prime Klay Thompson back.
Mm-hmm.
And they still guard him like he is 100% Klay Thompson, mm-hmm. too. So that helps. But just like, yeah, I was happy for that dude. It was such a disappointment, especially the second time he got hurt. And, you know.
And then they drafted James Wiseman 2 seconds later. Yeah, yeah. That was a bummer.
That was a double-edged bummer.
That was a really bad night.
It was a rough one. NBA champion, James Wiseman, Joey.
Mm-hmm. They said he couldn't do it.
He did it. He did it. Chioza did it. Juan Toscano-Anderson did it. Damian Lee, NBA champion.
Yep.
Kevon Looney, by the way. You're not going to ask me
who I'm happiest for?
Who?
Steph Curry, get out of here, yeah, man. Yeah, he was, like, yeah. Klay's great, whatever, but look. All I remembered, I was thinking about this last night, how I was a Warriors fan for so long, and how depressing draft night always was. From when they traded my favorite player, Jason Richardson, for no reason, because they claimed they were going to get Kevin Garnett, but then the phone stopped working.
Yeah.
Which was a lie. Or when they drafted Epe Udo. Or when they drafted
Ike Diagu.
Ike Diagu. Ike is not here. Just remember that. that was when they drafted Ike Diagu. David Stern immediately said Ike is not here and went on to the next pick.
Yeah.
The only happy draft night I'd had in 25 years as a Golden State Warrior fan was the night they drafted Steph Curry, and not even that I thought he was going to be like a superstar. It was just you immediately knew they did not fuck up the pick because it was like someone you'd heard of.
They didn't outsmart themselves. Also, they came very close to making a disastrous trade for Amari Stoudemire. And then Don Nelson was like, whoops, the phone's not working again. Sorry, guys, I can't call you back.
My best friend Elliot and I, when they drafted Steph Curry, literally started hugging and jumping up and down. and that was like my happiest moment as a Warrior fan until 2015. Well, yeah. 2014 or 13 when they beat the Nuggets.
Yeah.
And like just from then on, it's just been like, I don't know, validation that I was right to jump up and down.
Well, I mean, I don't know how you want more from your superstar. Like, I find it endearing that he dresses so terribly, and that look, I don't like the crypto stuff, but the Christianity stuff I find endearing. I gotta say,
sure,
like making weird movies about like people who drowned and saw Jesus, like, yeah, go do that.
Also, holy like, moly rocks.
Holy moly's great. Yeah. It's that, like, giving his wife 200% support and everything is rocks. Him,
well, except when they're swinging, then he's giving her 0%.
I think he's like, I just like it. And then I like that he just really cut loose, like, so briefly was like, what is anyone gonna say now? Because I do think he's one of the more unfairly criticized athletes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's, I don't know if it's because he didn't play AAU or that he like doesn't look like your conventional NBA player.
It's that one.
And it's just great. I mean, like, he basically couldn't have been better in this series. I guess some shots could have fallen in game five, but he still somehow kind of dominated game five without making a three.
Yeah. Anyway, I try not to be on a homer on this podcast, but I took a break there to be a homer. Sean,
I really liked also that after when they asked Draymond if he learned anything about himself, and he was like, no, I knew everything about myself. Everyone else was wrong, and I was right. That ruled.
Sean, let's turn I want to turn a question to you. We have some Minnesota fans.
Yes.
And I'm sorry for this, that this is all happening to you.
Yeah.
B, I want to ask you, was this the perfect series to make a Minnesota fan upset?
You know, normally I would say yes, because, you know, Andrew Wiggins emerged as a really useful player. The D'Angelo Russell trade seems not very good right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Boston traditionally, like in all sports, seems to poach great Minnesota athletes. But to be honest, I just think having Anthony Edwards just makes you be like, whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's the same thing when you look at like, okay, so the Warriors, you know, essentially just completely blew their lottery pick in 2010, taking Ekpe Udo over a bunch of guys who played in the league for a long time and weren't 23-year-old college juniors.
hey, he wore a suit to his interview, dude.
Yeah, yeah. But it's also like, who cares? They got Steph Curry. You know what I mean? Like all of that doesn't matter. Like, who cares?
That David Lee trade. They used him to trade him for just one of...
Bogut, right?
One of everyone's favorite Warriors of all time, Andrew Bogut.
Just a good dude. Just a good guy. Friend of the Black Falcon.
Yeah.
It's just... I feel like for them, it's like... Who cares? We have Anthony Edwards. Like, you have the most, you've like one of the most fun. Like, if you could have any guy that's like under 22 on your team, like, wouldn't you just take him? I don't know if he's
how
the
old
best
is Ja?
Guy. Ja might be young.
Ja is 22. I'd take Ja, then I'd take Ant-Man.
Yeah. I mean, but like, just, I'm not even saying he's going to be the best guy.
Right.
He's just.
Right, I just mean Ja is fun in the same way Ant-Man is. Well,
And actually, Anthony Edwards is 20.
Yeah.
So, okay, under 21, that's who I'm taking.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm taking Chet Holmgren?
Yeah.
No.
It's going to be fun. and so anyway, I just think like, look, they may have screwed up a bunch of other things, but they have Anthony Edwards, and that's like... It's great, man. I hope they keep him forever.
All right, Sean, my next question I want to ask you is... actually, you know what? I don't want to ask you a question at all. I want to do this real quick.
We are watching Andrew Wiggins. Got arms like Groot. We are watching Andrew Wiggins. He can't shoot, 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 shoot. They single team him whenever crunch time starts. He won't be kicking winners because he's got no heart.
That's right, Sean. We were sort of dancing around it. But we, when they first traded for Andrew Wiggins, we thought we were going to hate him so much, we started a sarcastic podcast called Watching Wiggins.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turned out he was so good and boring that we just canceled our podcast.
Yeah, it was like for one thing, it was not really all that frustrating to watch him as we thought it would be. Because it was, I mean, the frustrating thing is that sometimes he seems a little passive. And,
but that's okay if he's your fourth best guy.
Right. And in the finals, he was the second best guy.
Yes. Well, might have been Looney. It's a toss up.
I just think his defense was so good. He blocked Tatum so much.
Yeah.
And just like seeing a guy emerge like that.
I want to defend Jason Tatum here real quick before we get to watch him.
Please.
Jason Tatum is really hurt. He fucked up his shoulder in that second round, and it is clear. And as someone who felt like a crazy person defending in the 2016 finals, telling everyone that Steph Curry was hurt and not the same guy, even though he was playing, I feel you, Boston and Jason Tatum.
I think he might have an injured shoulder. I think he mostly just, you know, he played like 1,000 minutes in the playoffs or whatever, and then also played a huge amount of minutes in the regular season. And, you know, it just look, he was still good enough that Boston like literally couldn't take him out of the game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, this is not like the performance you want from him in the finals, but like. I'm just saying
he's going to get shit on a lot. And
yeah,
like,
it's bullshit.
Yeah, it's fucking trash. Like, look, I don't like Jason Tatum very much. I hate Kobe Bryant. I don't like the Boston Celtics. It bugs me he makes cool passes now.
Well, and also, I mean, look, with Draymond, the Warriors had the best defense in the league. And then they also kind of uniquely had... I don't think Andrew Wiggins is the perfect stopper for everybody, but for guarding Jason Tatum and also constantly having help in the paint, it's just a tough formula.
But
and
yeah,
it was like,
if I were a Celtics fan, I would be stoked to have Tatum and Brown and Robert Williams for the next 10 years or whatever. I mean, like Robert Williams is maybe... Besides LeBron and Jokic in the first round, I think Robert Williams is like the scariest, the guy who scared me most in a Warriors playoff series in the last 10 years. It was like, stop it! Stop going right at him! Please get Al Horford back in the game.
Yeah, I mean, he's really good. I mean, he was great. I thought Jaylen Brown was very good. I mean, his... Again, it's like I don't fault these guys that much for not being able to score on like on the Warriors. Like it, you know, it's the Celtics had the statistically better defense during the season, and they were very good on defense even in the finals. But just, I mean, it was just a tough matchup for those guys, and they
were so tired. Like
well, yes. And it was a bad matchup anyway, because, you know, they
don't have a point guard,
and they're like, none of those guys is especially great at dribbling. Like they're like Wiggins is, honestly.
Well, I remember I brought him up earlier. Uh-huh. If Monty Morris is really on the trading block, I would trade Grant Williams for Monty Morris tomorrow.
Wow,
and I think the Celtics win the finals.
You think that's a checkbook move that they'd make?
The thing is,
they also need Grant Williams, though. You know what I mean?
I just think you can find other Grant Williamses, and like they clearly, if they had a point guard, so Jaylen Brown didn't have to dribble so much. Like all they need is a competent B-level point guard, like. I love Marcus. I don't love Marcus Smart, but like I like what Marcus Smart brings to like a basketball team, but he just can't be your point guard.
Yeah. No, because he has a lot of heart. If he didn't like flop all the time, I would not have. Like that's I like his spirit, you know what I mean? I just feel like he is like a little bit of a cheater. That's all. I don't even think he's really like a dirty player. He just like, I think he also has the like Harden, Chris Paul, just general Houston Rockets tendency to attempt a flop at the worst possible time too. Like when he pretended he got hit in the nuts and allowed
a wide open three that ended the game last night.
That wasn't great. Also, Steph did nighty-night like three and a half minutes left, which is a very early bedtime.
Back to watching Wiggins, though.
Yes.
Sean, you requested a special watching Wiggins, so why don't you host our mini watching Wiggins?
Okay, here. Watching Wiggins. Joey, what did you see in this series from Wiggins?
Just a lot of great rebounding. Rebounding, defense. He was... You know, he didn't hit the threes every time, but he hit enough of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I don't see... They're looking at what he became in these playoffs, like, I don't see a reason this just can't be who he is now.
Right.
Like, it's not like he was doing anything. It's not like he was shooting 50% from three or anything. Or, like, ISO scoring constantly. Like, I don't see any reason he can't be, like, a 16-7 guy the rest of his career, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, you know, he's certainly a lot better offensively when Steph Curry's on the floor.
Well, yeah.
But at this point, you know, he's got two straight years of basically going 2 for 5 every game from three. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty good for a guy that plays D like that. And, you know, he doesn't really ever get fouled that much. That's the one thing I think he could maybe develop is like drawing contact at the rim. Still a
pretty bad foul shooter, though. Like, I don't think he likes to shoot free throws.
Yeah, I mean, that might be part of it. He was. This is his worst foul shooting year. And even at his best, he's like 70%. Mm-hmm. He's like 72% for his career. And that seems... But yeah, man, he doesn't get tired. He never gets hurt. he's really fast. And now that he's like... It just seemed like at the beginning of the year, he really struggled to play the four. But part of that was he was playing the four and Draymond wasn't playing center and they kind of hadn't figured it out. Now I think you can be a lot more comfortable giving him minutes at the four, which mm-hmm. I think would really help because it means you could move Klay Thompson to the three. And I think that would help him on defense for sure.
Well, and I also think what's interesting is I know, like, Jeff Van Gundy and other people were saying this is the least talented Warriors team in their mm-hmm. wins, which I think is fair as of right now.
Mm-hmm.
But what is interesting going out into the future is, like, Wiggins and Looney are still only in their mid-20s. Yeah. Kuminga is 20. Moody is 20. Jordan Poole is how old? 23?
I think he's 23, yeah.
Like, Gary Payton's 29, so he's not going to be there much longer. But I do think it would be it's interesting if they can keep this together.
Yeah.
How I'm not that, you know, they might be terrible. Who knows? But, like, none of these guys might ever develop past this. But, like, I do think it makes the future incredibly interesting as to what happens, as opposed to, like, oh yeah, we're just trotting Sean Livingston out again another right. year.
Yeah. When you kind of which don't and I have love Sean choice.
Livingston, yeah, yeah. of course. But, like, it's there was no upside to Sean Livingston and David West. They were just what they were. And now I think it's an interesting it will be interesting to see going into the future what happens as Steph and Draymond and Klay decline, what happens to these other guys as they're ostensibly heading into their primes.
Yeah. So Joey, who do you think leaves in the offseason?
Just Otto Porter would be my guess.
I think Damian Lee probably. Oh, and Damian Lee probably. I think maybe other teams appreciate him more than at least Warriors fans do.
I just sometimes think he can get paid more than they can pay him.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And he should get paid.
He's a good player. Warriors fans are hard on him for no reason. Yeah.
And I think the team likes him a lot better than the fans, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, I mean, he should get some money.
But yeah, I would guess Porter and Lee probably mm-hmm. leave, and then everyone else comes back.
Yeah.
Even Bielitsa, I think, probably comes back. And then I bet they sign another big instead of just relying on James Wiseman again to maybe play basketball.
Oh, well, Joey, NBA champion. Yeah. No, I think you're probably right about that. Just for the wear and tear of the season. And, you know, you can play Kuminga more next year and Moody will play more next year. So, but yeah, the hole is with.
Oh, and then Iguodala, I think, is going to retire.
He'll probably retire.
Yeah.
So a couple new vets.
But they also have three draft picks, too. So who knows? Like, maybe they'll just replace those three slots with the three draft picks. I doubt it. My guess
are you saying Justinian Jessup and Nico Mannion are not coming back?
Nico Mannion might. I wouldn't be surprised.
He just got really sick. He's not,
I know. I think they like him.
Yeah, they do. He's not really the worst. He was in a tough spot his rookie year, and then didn't he lost like 25 pounds or something?
That being said, I
kind of
don't think they want to add a point guard to the roster because the front office would like Jordan Poole to continue being the point guard, and Steve Kerr would love to play him at shooting guard because he does crazy things.
Yep.
But you know, anyway. Wiggins, we apologize for our sarcastic podcast. It'll never happen again. This is it. It's the final Andrew Wiggins. We sold this, the final watching Wiggins, we sold this podcast on two Warriors fans learning to love Andrew Wiggins, and you did it. We love you.
Yeah, and it's actually been acquired by Andre Iguodala's new VC firm. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Congratulations to the new hosts, Dave Portnoy and Tim Cook of Apple.
All right, Sean, that brings us to an hour. Is there anything else you really want to talk about?
I just want to ask you.
Sure.
When did you think the team was going to win the title?
Before the game yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, I thought they were going to win after game four.
After game four. I just thought, yeah. Once Steph did what he did in Boston, I was
like it was going to be
more confident. But
yeah, I thought they were going to definitely win two out of three. And once they won game five, I thought they were going to win game six.
Yeah,
just because it was like they'd clearly solved something. And in game five, it was like Boston had a crazy 3-point barrage at some point. Mm-hmm. It was weird after the game hearing people saying that Boston like choked away game five and should have won it. And I was thinking like, it was like I felt like it was more of a fluke that they'd even climb back into the game.
Well, I actually have a theory on that. I don't want it to sound like sour grapes, but here we go.
Well, you won. It's not sour grapes.
I just feel like the whole narrative the whole time was like, Chris Herring wrote an article that was like the Boston Celtics are handing the Golden State Warriors the title. And it felt like the entire media just took Ime Udoka's word for what was happening, which, right. Like, he's supposed to say, like, our offense is just giving the ball away. But, like, of course, but that's, it was the Warriors were doing that. Like,
yeah.
Like, yes, Boston turns the ball over a lot, but, like, Gary Payton, of course, is going to steal the ball three times from Jaylen Brown because Jaylen Brown sucks at dribbling and Gary Payton is amazing at stealing the ball. Like,
he steals the ball all the time from everybody.
Like it was just this weird thing to me where it was like a total not. Oh, man, I'm going to sound like an asshole. But it was like East Coast bias shit where it was like, yeah, of course, they're just the Warriors have no control over what's happening. The Boston Celtics just turn the ball over. And it's like, I don't know, man, like. The Warriors have been doing this for 10 years where they make a guy shoot poorly from two-pointers, but well from three-pointers. Like, Boston's offense wasn't doing very well, but also the Warriors' defense is really good.
It's like, you know who else turned the ball over a ton against the Warriors? Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
You know who else does? James Harden every single time they've played him in the playoffs. It's like, this is not like new stuff. It's just one thing that felt weird to me, and again, some of this was me overrating the Warriors, I think, but it just seemed like there was this odd reluctance to acknowledge that like Draymond Green had missed 35 games, like that this was, and that Steph Curry had missed the last month of the season because you'd still look at these sites and they're like, well, you know, I mean, statistically, Boston's been a lot better than the Warriors since mid-January. And it's like, when Draymond Green went out for 2 months and then Steph Curry was out, that they've been better in that stretch. Wow, that's such a shock. You know what I mean? I guess like you couldn't expect everyone to have come back and kind of coalesced as quickly. But at a certain point, it's like you remember this guy was the favorite for Defensive Player of the Year. Mm-hmm. Literally up to like the point he'd been out 2 months, and finally people were like, well, he did miss half the season now. We can't give him the award.
Yeah. Just,
that part of it felt very strange to me. And I mean, part of it is like there are more people writing about Boston. There are more people kind of like people on the East Coast see their games.
They're all from Boston. Everybody lives in Boston. They work at ESPN. They work in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Like, and, I don't blame them for not wanting to be up until 1 a.m. watching the Golden State Warriors. Yeah. But also, if I have to hear this complaint one more time from people, how dare these games start at 9 p.m.? Why don't they start at 7 p.m.? And it's like, oh, because the people in San Francisco are at fucking work then? Yeah. Like, sorry, you have to stay up late. But
yeah,
like...
sorry, there's 6 finals games. One of them was on a Friday night. Grow up.
Anyway, Sean, who's the favorite next year?
Oh, the Brooklyn Nets, obviously. Getting Ben Simmons back. He's ready, Joey. He's rested and he's ready. Steve Nash is ready to do a brand new photo shoot with Rob Gronkowski, who is now endorsing the exact same kind of like retired guy dress shoes. Did you see that commercial?
No.
Yeah, Gronk is also, it's like, you know, Wolf and Cauldron or whatever they're called. Anyway, wow. He's going to do probably a shoot where they put an executive desk on a football field. It's going to be incredible. You know, the two people, like, they have a lot of similarities. Steve Nash and Gronk, right? Yeah.
Oh, I mean, also, let's be honest. Gronk would never serve someone divorce papers in a delivery room.
God damn. God, Steve Nash has done some bad things. One more thing about the Celtics real quickly.
Ime Udoka's tight, too. I want to make that clear. Tight. He's cool.
Jalen Brown rules. Jason Tatum might be a little overrated, but he's very good.
I do think Udoka should maybe have waited to play the stop playing like assholes card. Because apparently that really, really worked.
You know, it's also just tough. Like, he knew... All I would say is there's no reason the bench needed to have that many white players. You know what I mean? Like Stauskas is one thing. Luke Kornet and Daniel Theis, I kind of get. But then you just keep going and it's more white guys. Like, that's never going to work.
Sean, like, last night,
shot otherwise.
Last night I texted you. They were like, Mike Breen, when they took the starters out, Mike Breen was like, and the Boston crowd applauds their starters for a wonderful season. And I texted you. I was like, actually, they're applauding the white guys coming in. Let's be honest here.
Well, I'm just saying, in 2008, the last time the Celtics won a title, their last title since the Reagan administration, since Len Bias was still alive, they played Caucasians 0 minutes in that 2008 finals, and it's something they should consider for the future. Scalabrini didn't get into a single game.
Anyway, good season. We'll be back early next week with our draft episode, because it's got to go before the draft. So look for that. You're right. Summer League, July 10th. At our meetup, or just if you're at Summer League in general, tweeted
us. DM
us.
I think we're both going to be there on Thursday.
I won't be at the Thursday game, though, I don't think. I think I'm not going till the 8th.
Okay.
Because I think I'm going to drive there on Thursday.
Oh, that makes sense. I think I'll be flying.
Yeah.
Probably.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Based on where we both live. All right. Sean, anything you'd like to plug?
I guess I'll be in Santa Cruz next Friday at Greater Purpose Brewing. So if you want to come by, it's very close to the Kaiser Permanente Arena, home of the Santa Cruz Warriors. I'm going to be with Joe Mandy, but I think that ship sailed for our listeners. It's tonight. It's in like 5 hours. So, I think that's the last thing I have to plug. Check out my website and Instagram. I'll have some stand-up clips up. I think I got a winner of a Top Gun Maverick thing that'll be up on Monday.
Great.
Yeah.
And then as for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where 6 days ago I tweeted, I really thought up until about 5 years ago that I had a shot to play in the NBA. No joke.
Well, mini George Takei here. making that Twitter post. It's too self-aware.
Sean, did you? What song do you want me to play?
What song? I announced I
you
was
said
gonna...
Christian Wood.
The Christian oh, Christian Wood. Wood. Yeah. We'll play the Christian Wood song.
Okay, great. That's playing under us right now. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. We love you very much. This was a wonderful season, but guess what? Round Ball Rock never sleeps, baby. We'll be back next week.
Sign the deal, or should I say, they're going to deal me. They had some cap room, Detroit is no good, no Christian Wood. I asked Houston to sign and trade, and they gave me the bank. Then Harden demanded a trade, and we started to tank. So I tried to survive with James at strip clubs, playing with scrubs. Thought we'd make the first round, and then we'd choke, Tillman is broke. But they told me pretend to be hurt. And then Tillman tried to take a kidney from Caris LeVert. And by MLK Day I was alone, this beard had flown. So I fired up lots of shots, they charge us for food, no Christian Wood.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.